On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap a wild week three. We get into tonight's Monday night matchup a little bit and preview the NBA Finals as both the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers have clinched spots in the finals over the weekend. So let's get into it. Welcome into 23's The Mic. I'm your host, Nadeem, at NadeemN22 on Instagram. At the Dreamin 22 on Twitter. Follow all of our social medias at 23's and Mike on Instagram and Twitter. What a wild weekend in the world of sports. The main story, obviously, in the Chicagoland area is that Nick Foles has taken over the starting job over Mitch Trubisky. A surprising move by Matt Nagy yesterday during the game against the Falcons. We'll get into that. But also wanted to touch upon, obviously, you have the NBA Finals. The Lakers beat the Nuggets in Game 5 over the weekend on Saturday. Last night, the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics and advanced to the Finals. That'll begin on Wednesday. Tomorrow, the baseball playoffs kick off. The Cubs over the weekend clinched the National League Central. While the White Sox, who have been one of the most hot teams in the league, fell to third place after a little skid over the past couple weeks, and the Cubs did not help as well as the weekend series over the weekend. The Cubs took 2 out of 3, and they sent the White Sox down to third place, which is insane to think about. The White Sox coming into that weekend, even coming into the past couple weeks, just have 3 MVP candidates. They have been on fire throughout the season, one of the most surprised, unexpected teams that have just been hot regardless. With Eloy Jimenez, Jose Abreu, Luis Robert, Tim Anderson, studs all around this year, and somehow they ended up falling. And on the opposite side of the ball, Chris Bryant having a great weekend. For the first time all season, he came into Friday's game with, I think, 2 home runs and 5 RBIs, hits a grand slam on Friday, upped his RBI total to 9 in just one swing of the bat, basically doubled it. And then yesterday hit another home run. So it's great to see Chris Bryant on a little bit of a pace here. You know, maybe we get some momentum going into the playoffs. The Cubs start the series against the Marlins. They'll be taking on the wild card team in this new MLB format. That starts on Wednesday night. The White Sox are going to take on the Athletics, which is not the matchup that the White Sox had hoped for because the Athletics are a super deep team as well. So that'll be a fun series to see. Let's see if the experience pays off for the White Sox like it did with the Cubs in 2015 when they took out the Cardinals in the NLDS and took out the Pirates in that wild card game. The Cubs are looking good. They should have control at least of the wild card series. We're expecting them to, you know, be favored, and hopefully, you know, pitch and hit up to the expectations. Maybe this offense needed this weekend series to kind of get their mojo flowing, get the hits back in order, and get the guys rolling a little bit. So I'll switch gears to the main focus of the weekend. Going into yesterday's game, the Bears and the Falcons, we had originally picked the Falcons to beat the Bears just because Matt Ryan has had a stellar start to the year. He's starting out the year at 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So a great start for him against the Seahawks and the Cowboys. Would he continue that against the Bears? And the first play of the game for the Falcons after the Bears missed a field goal on their opening possession. The first play of the game, Ryan with a play action pass to Calvin Ridley for 63 yards, just flinging it over the top of the defense. And that was just a punch in the mouth to the Bears. And the Falcons were very, very much in control. The running game was outstanding for the Falcons. The Bears defense was getting torched on the run. Mitch Trubisky was struggling early. He was missing throws again, which is his staple. And unfortunately, threw a costly interception, but did make a touchdown-saving tackle. And early on, the Bears were down 26-10. The Falcons were rolling, and it was at that point that Matt Nagy, to everyone's surprise in the building, to the fans at home, no one saw this coming, he finally makes the switch at quarterback. Now, this is something I want to dive into a little later, but we'll definitely touch on that. Making the switch at quarterback midway through the third quarter, and Nick Foles comes out and he leads the Bears down the field and throws a touchdown that was changed to an interception. I thought personally initially that ruling should have been called an interception. it didn't seem like Allen Robinson had control after he went to the ground. But on the field, they called it a touchdown and somehow reversed the call after the replay. So it was interesting to see that. I think a lot of people, a lot of the NFL folks disagreed with that call. But, you know, it is what it is. And afterwards, the Bears also drove again down the field. And Nick Foles throws a touchdown again to Anthony Miller. Was called a touchdown on the field and then later confirmed that it was dropped, bobbled by Anthony Miller in the end zone, took the touchdown off the board. So in his first two drives, he does lead two touchdown drives and they have to settle for, you know, nothing. And then the Bears bounce back in the fourth quarter. Nick Foles, in the final 6 minutes of the game, throws three touchdown passes and just looked on fire. The Falcons defense could not stop the Bears at all. The Bears didn't really have a running game going, so it was really pretty much Nick Foles. He went 16 of 29, 188 yards, three touchdowns, and that one touchdown turned interception, which should have really been five touchdowns, but it's amazing to see that in the halfway point between the third quarter, he came out and he was just on fire, lit up the world on fire. And Trubisky ended up going 13 for 22 with 128 yards and one touchdown, one interception. Not the worst stat line, but we'll get more into that later. So Matt Ryan has a chance to lead the Falcons down the field for a game-winning drive. Now, just take into account that Julio Jones was out for this game. Russell Gage, who is a great receiver for the Falcons, emerging receiver who has had almost 100 yards, more than 100 yards in each of his previous two games. He was injured as well, so the Falcons were really, really hampered on the offensive side of the ball. In terms of injuries, in terms of personnel, Matt Ryan throws a late interception for I first thought was Eddie Jackson, but it was Tayshaun Gibson, 38-39, the same numbers looking alike on the Bears uniform. But we get the win. The Bears get out of Atlanta with a crucial win. They're 3-0. Regardless of however you want to chop up these three wins, the Lions, the Giants, the Falcons, you know, these three wins aren't against the best of teams, but at the same time, to have the good teams beat bad teams, you know, like the good teams in the league will beat bad teams. Now, they're not the prettiest of wins, but we'll take it as fans nonetheless. 3-0, they are tied with the Packers on top of the NFC North. And at the start of the year, especially in this year versus other seasons, you have week one where you can't really put much stock into due to the fact that there was no preseason. Teams are getting acclimated to their themselves, new players, what have you, new game plans, new coaches. Week two, all right, let's see like the adjustments that are made from week one. Let's see people trying to find their rhythm, teams trying to find what works for them. And then week three, you're starting to see teams identify themselves. What are they good at? What are they bad at? Now, unfortunately for the Bears, this change was so sudden and I just thought it was very rushed. I thought it was a premature decision. Hindsight's 20/20. You win the game. It's a great move because you win the game. But not only do you completely change the offense with Nick Foles getting in there. And obviously we were expecting this to happen, but expecting it more after like a game so that you have a week to prep with Nick Foles, you announce he is the starter, maybe after Trubisky doesn't play that well. I'll be honest, I am one of the biggest Trubisky haters there are. Ever since he was drafted, I did not like the pick over Deshaun Watson, over Patrick Mahomes. Again, hindsight 20/20, there's no way you project them to be this much better than he is. And you don't project him to be this bad. But after seeing what I've seen this year, I didn't think it warranted a change. I thought the offense was definitely slow. And after the Giants game, I did not like what I saw. But if you're not going to make the change after the Giants game, why are you making the change after one interception? And after he's driving the ball downfield, he's 13 of 22, which isn't terrible, 128 yards. Yes, it's not what you want to see. The Falcons' offense is gashing the Bears' defense, though. It's not like we're losing the game because of him. I think the defense is equally to blame. 144 rushing yards against an Atlanta Falcons team that has been depleted on offense. I mean, without Julio Jones, without Russell Gage, you really have only Calvin Ridley. And if you jam him up, there isn't much else for there isn't elsewhere for Matt Ryan to go. There isn't many places that he can get the ball to that he's comfortable with. So they became reliant on Brian Hill and Todd Gurley. And you were seeing these runs. There were holes all over the place in the Bears defense. So I think that has more to do with the Bears defense not playing up to par, not really giving the Bears a chance. And it's crazy for me to be saying this again as one of the biggest Trubisky haters since he's been drafted. I've been calling for him to be subbed out for years now. And it's just, it comes at a weird time because, like I said, week three is the time that you really identify what your strengths are in your team, what your weaknesses are, what you have to improve upon, what kind of team are you. Look at the Cleveland Browns, winners against Washington yesterday, 34-20. The Cleveland Browns know who they are. They have their identity. They are a run-first team. They are pound the rock with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And then Baker Mayfield will have the stress taken off of him, and he can make plays after that. We are a liability on defense, but we will make sure that our running game is stout. The offensive line is good, and they know who they are. You have a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Week one looked terrible against the Saints, but week two completely just destroyed the Panthers. Yesterday, Tom Brady throws for 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, and completely destroys the Broncos. And they know who they are. They have their identity. They're a pass-first, offensive-first option. Look at the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen throwing the ball all over the place. These teams that are good right now, these 2-1, 3-0 teams, they know who they are. Who are the Bears right now? Do you think that this change would have been better suited maybe after you saw Trubisky really struggle? And like, it's crazy for me to say this because during the games, especially against the Giants game, I was like, this is terrible. This is terrible to see that against probably the worst defense in the league, against a defense that yesterday gave up 300 yards to Nick Mullins, Trubisky was struggling. He was allowing them to come back. He threw 2 interceptions, allowing the New York Giants to come back and win the game. Basically gave Daniel Jones a shot to win the game. And so now we're in like this little issue where Trubisky probably is not going to start again for the Bears, barring an injury to Nick Foles. At this point, we've come too far along to make that happen again. I feel like his confidence is completely shattered, to be honest with you. Like, there's not much that you can put into Nick Trubisky at this point. I mean, Mitch Trubisky at this point, outside of maybe a new change of scenery. Maybe that'll help him maybe go to New England or something. But what happens if the Foles experiment doesn't work? Because majority of Bears fans, especially people that I talk to, myself personally, thought that the Nick Foles move was a bad move, regardless of which way you look at it, because of the fact that you're paying $21 million to this guy that you traded a 4th-round pick for. So you gave up a 4th-round pick, and you're putting $21 million over 2 years into a guy when you could have gotten Cam Newton, who is the resurgent Cam Newton, healthy Cam Newton, almost MVP form Cam Newton, taking $1 million over 1 year if you just waited a week. So the Bears next on the schedule have the Colts, and I'm feeling that this could be a trap game. We'll get into a preview more on Thursday's show, but I think that this really could be a trap game, and we'll see how that goes. You know, we'll see what happens during practice. And a huge red flag this week, especially the run game. I mean, Trubisky had a 45-yard run. Outside of that, the run game just got 85 yards in a completely negative game strip. I understand it, but it was like we couldn't get anything going on the ground. And now Tariq Cohen yesterday also tore his ACL, so there isn't much of a change of pace back that week. We'll have to bring somebody in or something because it doesn't look good for the Bears right now. But again, a game against the Colts, it's a winnable game for sure. But after all the momentum and a great comeback like this, down 26-10 and winning the game 30-26, I think it could be a trap game if the Bears don't get their game plan right. Looking ahead to the rest of the NFL, week three, it was a weird week, really. You had weird scores, weird box scores, weird outcomes, results, whichever way you want to put it. The Arizona Cardinals, who was one of my favorite teams coming into the week, going 2-0, they look like they could be world beaters, maybe giving the Seattle Seahawks the best competition that they could get in the NFC West, lost the Detroit Lions. And looking at the game highlights in the game film, Kyler Murray had three inexplicable throws that went the worst possible way. The first interception was a tipped pass, and there isn't much you can do about that. You know, just like move on to the next. That doesn't really gas your confidence as a quarterback, as it's a tipped interception. Baker Mayfield knows all about that because he probably has the most tipped interceptions I've ever seen out of any quarterback. But regardless, Murray still looked good on the ground, but the offense just couldn't get going. The offensive line got gashed by the Lions' defensive line, and I think the injuries that the Lions sustained over the course of the training camp in the first couple weeks have really hurt them, and I feel like they're a lot better than they've been playing. But, I mean, let's face it. I said he's a top five quarterback, and he did not play like one yesterday. So we'll see how they bounce back. Another weird line score was the Los Angeles Chargers losing to the Carolina Panthers, who the Panthers' run defense looked like they just would get gashed every single game, and the Justin Herbert-led Chargers offense was not really clicking in terms of the full cylinder of the offense. I think that he was targeting Keenan Allen a lot. I mean, what do you do when you're an offense? You target your best player. Austin Eckler had a great game. But other than that, I think Teddy Bridgewater played a phenomenal game and really helped that the Panthers and Mike Davis filling in for Christian McCaffrey didn't do bad. And I think that the Panthers played a really good game and they were able to win that game. And I think that with the bottom tier teams, you're looking at maybe the Bengals, the Giants, the Panthers, but the Panthers look like, you know, they could be a stout offense, especially with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm. I'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly now. My good for the week is the late games. So the two primetime games for me were amazing. You had the Seattle Seahawks take on the Dallas Cowboys. Russell Wilson on fire. He's playing out of his mind right now. Do you know he's on pace for 75 touchdowns? He has 14 touchdowns through 3 weeks. 14 touchdowns and one interception. 14 touchdowns through 3 weeks. Unheard of. That is insane. He throws for 315 yards, 5 touchdowns. The Seahawks win the game 38-31. But Dak Prescott, not bad. 472 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, but 2 costly interceptions, including the game-winning interception on the last play, on the last drive, when the Cowboys were going down the field to try to tie the game. On the flip side of the other game, you had Aaron Rodgers, who, oh my goodness, this man at the age of 36 is playing out of his mind right now. 283 yards, 3 touchdowns against the vaunted Saints defense. Everyone's been talking about the Saints defense. On paper, they look like they could be the best defense in the NFL. But Aaron Rodgers bossed that game. He bossed that game, and especially in the closing minutes of the fourth quarter, he caught them offsides and threw the ball in the air, which caused a pass interference penalty. So he got a free play, but out of the free play, threw the ball into the end zone and got the ball at the one. Amazing. He's one of the best manipulators at the quarterback position. And still to this day, I think at least if he's not the best quarterback in the NFL, he's still top three. He's going to be top three in the rankings this week. The rankings probably won't change in the top four, depending on how, let's see how tonight's game goes. But Russell Wilson playing out of his mind, clearly the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Aaron Rodgers, not far behind. Drew Brees, though. Drew Brees threw for 288 yards and 3 touchdowns. However, that stat line is so misleading because the fact of the matter is Drew Brees' arm is done. It pretty much looks that way, but Tom Brady, last year, a lot of people, in the past couple of years, I would say a lot of people call him check down Charlie because of the fact of his utilization of the underthrows to the slot guys and his running backs, and that's all Drew Brees does. And Alvin Kamara is just a magician. 139 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. A 52-yard screen pass that resulted in a touchdown where he broke like 5 tackles on the play. Insane performance from Alvin Kamara. I think he had like 40 fantasy points. Just out of his mind. Drew Brees, though, is a major cause for concern. The Saints are now 1-2, and they lost that game to the Packers last night. And let's see, like, how do they bounce back? Maybe getting Michael Thomas back, Drew Brees will be more comfortable throwing the ball downfield. But I think that's a major cause for concern to see that Drew Brees just doesn't have the missile of an arm that he used to have. He has the accuracy a little bit. Sometimes here and there, even that goes a little haywire. So we'll see how the Saints bounce back after a 1-2 start. My bad. And you know what? I'm going to put a disclaimer, an asterisk on this, because I think this guy is getting so much hate and I don't think it's warranted. But Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles, that game was just a monster of a mess. Like, Carson Wentz went for 225 yards, one touchdown. He threw two really, really bad interceptions. But let me say this. I think as a quarterback, it's really indicative of your play. If, regardless of the situation, you can still maneuver and drive your team down the field in an attempt to win games. And I feel like right now, Carson Wentz and the Eagles coaching staff just is not clicking. I think the drafting of Jalen Hurts in the second round really, really hurt them. I think that really hurt their chemistry. And Carson Wentz just isn't seeing the ball really well right now. And listen, we're 3 weeks into this season. Last season, Carson Wentz had 4,000 yards with nothing. An injured Zach Ertz, an injured Alshon Jeffrey. As Greg Ward, who was his third string wide receiver to start the year, a former college quarterback, was his number one option. I think Carson Wentz is getting way too much hate right now. And because of that, he's just flustered. And he's not clicking with the offense. He's not clicking with the offensive coordinator down in Philly. Philadelphia as a whole just is not playing that well. He has no offensive line help. He's getting hit on almost every play. And I think the Eagles bounce back. But I think that Carson Wentz really needs to take a step back and just relax a bit. He's pressing way too much out there. And I think he can play better. I don't think he's a bottom tier quarterback. I think at the start of the season, I had him as a top five quarterback after his play last year. In the preseason rankings, I had him as my number five quarterback outside of Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, and Lamar. And he has done the exact opposite of that, having the worst stats in the league 3 weeks into the season. Listen, everybody, 3 weeks into the season, we have not gotten too far yet. We're not at a point where you can judge a player for how he plays this year and say that is indicative of his entire play right now. You look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to sit there and tell me that Patrick Mahomes is not one of the best quarterbacks. Not if he's not better than Russell Wilson, he's number two. There's nobody that's better than Patrick Mahomes. In my eyes, I think he's still better than Russell Wilson. If I was having a team, if I wanted one quarterback, it would be Patrick Mahomes. Just because he is off to not the best of starts in the league through 3 weeks does not mean he's not the best quarterback in the league. Tonight's matchup features the Chiefs and Ravens. So we'll get into that right after the ugly. My ugly Sam Darnold. I mean, for all the hate that I get for Baker Mayfield over the years, I never said Baker Mayfield was going to be the greatest thing to come out of since sliced bread. You know, like I don't think he's the coming of Christ or like the greatest Hall of Fame quarterback talent that's coming out. I love Baker Mayfield, and he's still the best quarterback I've ever seen at the University of Oklahoma. And I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Can he be a franchise quarterback? We'll wait and see. After his rookie year, we thought he was great. But Sam Darnold, who a lot of people, you're either a Baker guy or a Sam Darnold guy. And Sam Darnold yesterday went 168 yards, three interceptions, and two pick sixes. Baker Mayfield had 156 yards while he didn't have to throw as much. And he had two touchdowns and no interceptions. So a clean slate for Baker Mayfield over a DVOA rated number one defense in the Washington football team. Sam Darnold against the Colts, who have a formidable defense, definitely a good pass defense and a good running defense, but he looks terrible. And maybe it's a dumpster fire that is the New York Jets, and New York football in general just is terrible. But I think that he is vastly overrated. And people don't... It's weird that Trubisky gets so much blame. I can't believe, again, I'm spouting Mitch defense. Trubisky gets so much blame. When a quarterback does good, he gets all the credit. When he does bad, he gets all the blame. Last week, Dak Prescott against the Atlanta Falcons had three rushing touchdowns and then come from behind win. Who did everybody talk about? Dak Prescott. Who's everybody talking about today after the Cowboys lose to the Seahawks? Dak Prescott, two interceptions. Why aren't we talking about Sam Darnold in the New York media? We're talking about all about Adam Gase. We're talking about how he doesn't get along with his players and blah, blah, blah. But the quarterback play has been bad. The offensive line play is probably the best strength on that team is their offensive line. Their defense is terrible. Their receivers are whatever. Their running game is whatever. But the offensive line is good, and Sam Darnold is not that good. I'm sorry to break it to you. Sam Darnold is not that good. You know who is good? Josh Allen, who is just on fire. And my ugly 1A would be, however, the pass interference penalty that was called after the Los Angeles Rams erased a 28-3 deficit and took the lead against the Buffalo Bills. Now, for as good as Josh Allen is, a lot of people are saying that he's better than Aaron Rodgers. He's top five quarterback in the league. Now, this year, he has been one of the best quarterbacks for sure through 3 weeks. But he's not a top five quarterback in the league. He's not better than Allen or Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, Jackson, Murray. I think that's still the top five. And we'll see how he plays throughout the rest of the year. But until his schedule was pretty easy going in the first couple weeks, and the Rams were his first test, and he did well. He had 311 yards, 4 touchdowns, but he also did allow a 28-3 lead just blow by, and the Rams took the lead 31-28, and then Josh Allen gets awarded a pass interference penalty, which was just a terrible call. Terrible call. The receiver, if you watch the replay, the receiver is engaging the defender as much as the defender is engaging the receiver. Both of them are holding and somehow gets the benefit of the call. I don't get it. But we'll see how they fare next week. Week 4 has a bunch of good matchups as well. The Cowboys and the Browns. Let's see if Cleveland and Baker Mayfield are for real. Tonight, though, we have the Chiefs and the Ravens. Now, this is one of those games, in my eyes. Monday Night Football is notorious for having that one game that features the Patriots around like week 4, week 5, and the Patriots do bad and then end up winning the Super Bowl. We've seen it so many times. We saw it when the Patriots played Kansas City, lost to Kansas City, and what was the most famous phrase in Bill Belichick's tenure? On to Cincinnati. Other than do a job. On to Cincinnati. Because what happens in the first weeks 1-4? Weeks 1-4 can be categorized in one word. Overreactions. Overreactions because weeks 1-4 are not indicative of what happens rest of season. Weeks 1-4 are when everyone gets their takes. And afterwards, they don't refine those takes and they stick to what they believe through weeks 1-4 when everything changes after. We can see Carson Wentz bounce back completely this year, but everyone will remember how he didn't beat the Bengals in overtime. And they won't go back on their picks because they'll just remember what happens in weeks 1-3, you know. So in my eyes tonight, the Ravens beat the Chiefs. But that doesn't tell me that the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. I think this is one of those games that the Ravens beat the Chiefs, and then in the playoffs, in the AFC Championships, the Chiefs beat the Ravens. I think that is exactly what happened in 2018, I want to say, when the Chiefs beat the Patriots, and then the Patriots beat the Chiefs in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game. And then you learn more about the Chiefs, you learn more about the Ravens through this game. This is the premier matchup, I want to say, of the football season, to be honest. This is Monday night, Chiefs and Ravens. And we'll see how that plays out. I think the Ravens win with the final score of 31-24. Okay, breaking news on the show. Doc Rivers is out as the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. Wow. What an announcement. I'm shocked. After choking away a 3-1 lead, the Los Angeles Clippers and Doc Rivers have parted ways. That is insane. After one season in a bubble with the LA Clippers with Kawhi? That doesn't make any sense. That does not make any sense to me at all. The only thing I can contribute to is maybe Paul George and him weren't getting along or something. Wow, that is insane. What an announcement, but a perfect segue into our NBA segment where we covered the NBA Finals. And, I mean, you look at the Lakers and the Heat on paper and you think that the Lakers are probably going to win this series in like 5 or 6 games. This is one of LeBron's easiest roads to an NBA championship. But then you also looked at and see that Jimmy Butler and Andre Iguodala are two of the best defenders on LeBron. So I think game one and game two are going to be indicative of how the series is going to go, as usual. But I think the Lakers do take it in five, and we will have more NBA coverage after the game one and recap of how that goes. All right, to wrap up today's show, I just want to quickly preview the Cubs playoffs. We have the Miami Marlins, who are starting Sandy Alcantara in their first game against the Cubs. The Cubs have yet to make the announcement of who the starter is, but I'm going to guess it's Yu Darvish because he's been playing lights out and is probably the Cy Young Award winner in the NL. A couple things to note. There isn't much to go off of with these lineups or anything yet. Nothing has been decided. Hopefully Chris Bryant's play can kind of, and it's only been really one series that he's played well this year, but maybe that momentum can swing in towards the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, it's the Miami Marlins who, if you guys don't remember, in 2003, which is the last time the Cubs and Marlins faced off in the playoffs, that was the Steve Bartman series. That was the 3-1 choke. And we remember Sammy Sosa, Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Alex Gonzalez, that notorious player, Derek Lee on the Marlins, Aramis Ramirez, like all of these players, all of these greats that we grew up with as Cubs fans in that series. So this is going to be the second go of it, and, you know, the first time since then. So we'll see how the Cubs do. It's a three-game series. I think the Cubs win this one. I think the Cubs might win this one in two games, hopefully. And we'll get to see. So we'll have a preview for Thursday, on Thursday, for the Bears and the Colts. We'll talk about some more Week 4 stuff. We'll recap the NBA Finals Game 1. And we'll recap the Cubs' first playoff game against the Marlins and even the White Sox against the Athletics. So we'll have a lot more extensive coverage on Thursday of those series, those games, and we'll preview the Bears, of course. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. Please participate in our polls. We'll drop the rankings tomorrow. So hit me with some of your hot takes. As always, this is 23's The Mic. Love you guys.